God has given His Word so that it would be a blessing to you.
We serve a good God who bestows special blessings on those who honor His Word. And on this edition of the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green will show you how reading and following the Bible will bring concrete and identifiable blessings to your life. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, God's Word in a Godless World. But Don, to receive the blessings of Scripture, you can't read it as just another book, can you?
Well, you know, my friend, it's just so important to remember when you open a Bible that you are reading the authoritative Word of God. And so you come to it with a sense of believing submission, a willingness to let it correct you, to instruct you, to encourage you, and to respond to it with a tender heart as you read. When you do that, you'll find that God continually is bringing joy and wisdom and other great blessings into your life. Stay with us today as we look at the doctrine of Scripture on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, have your Bible open to Psalm 19 as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
We saw the nature of the Scripture's complete authority. The Scripture's authority is pervasive. The Bible is literally God's word to man. It is His revelation. It is His self-disclosure. And it is without error in all that it affirms. It is revelation. It is inerrant. It is authoritative. And it is complete and sufficient for every possible spiritual need that a man in any generation could ever have. It is complete, as we said from 2 Timothy, it is sufficient to lead the non-Christian to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith in Christ. To avoid the condemnation that our sins deserve, the Bible points us to a crucified and resurrected Messiah who died in our place so that our guilt could be put upon Him and that His righteousness could be counted to our account so that we could be right before a holy God. The Bible is sufficient to do that in the life of any non-Christian that would come to God's Word and read it and appropriate it. On the other hand, for the believing Christian, we see, and this is a well-known verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, but that it is adequate, it is sufficient, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. Anything that is in your life, the circumstances that God has ordained for you, whether they be on a small scale seen by a few or a big scale seen by many, the Bible is sufficient to make you live righteously in the midst of those. And so the Bible is complete and sufficient and adequate for everything that we need to live a righteous life before a holy God. Non-Christian, it leads you to Christ. Christian, it tells you how to live now that you've come to become a Christian. And so it is complete, it is sufficient, it is authoritative. Now, one of the things that I am so happy to have the opportunity and the strength to speak to you today is to be able to say this to you, is to understand that the authority of the Bible, the comprehensive nature of its authority as God has expressed Himself, is not an abstract truth. It is not an academic matter. And it is not something that comes from an austere God who is remote and uncaring. Simply asserting His authority, throwing His weight around, as it were, in this book. Far to the contrary, God has given His word so that it would be a blessing to you. Let me say that again. I want to camp here for just a moment. The Bible is intended to be a blessing to you. When we studied the Sermon on the Mount, going back chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew, we said that the themes of the Sermon on the Mount were matters of righteousness and blessing. God calls us to righteousness, but He also calls us to blessing, To be in the kingdom of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is to be in a position of blessing. He is a good God. He is a loving God, and He blesses those who love Him. He blesses those who respond to His word, who read it with a believing and submissive heart. It is a vehicle of His comprehensive blessing to His people. And that, beloved, should draw you like a magnet to the Bible. The sovereign God of the universe who rules over all would bless me through His word? Absolutely. That is exactly what this passage teaches us. God reserves, get this, God reserves special rewards, special blessings for those who honor His word, for those who would read His word and search it out. And this passage gives us at least five different blessings that are available to you as a believing Christian. These are five distinct blessings that are yours for the taking. And I want you to know those blessings. If you were to know the fullness of my background and the fullness of my testimony, it would be very easy to understand the direction of my life and the way things have gone. When I first became a Christian, it's almost 25 years now, I was an isolated man. I was an angry man, and the Lord saved me without going into all of the detail of it. But He saved me, and there was really no one around. I wasn't with Christians. There wasn't anyone witnessing to me. The Lord saved me, and I bought a Bible, and I started to read it. It was very, very simple. The origins of my Christian life were very, very simple. And I bought a Bible. It wasn't this one. The one that I bought is in Russia someplace, long since given to someone else. But I bought a Bible and I started to read it. I just read the Bible. I knew nothing about any pastor anywhere. I just read the Bible. And that time in my life, those 3 to 6 months where it was just me reading the Bible alone with God, transformed my life completely. I went from being an angry, confused, as they say in the Swiss, yerk, or jerk, if you prefer the English. I was a jerk. Trust me on that one. And the Bible just changed me. As I read the Bible from day to day, there was a joy and a peace and a satisfaction that flooded my life that I knew nothing about before. I had no idea that that was even possible. No one taught me that. No one told me to expect that. It was just a natural overflow of having become a Christian and wanting to seek God in His Word. And that so revolutionized my life that I just wanted to spend my life pursuing His Word. If you know anything about me and how I left my law practice and all of that, that little principle of just the joy that flowed out of those initial days, that has set the course for my entire life. And it's all because of a book. It's amazing. God dispensed and poured so much blessing out on me through His word in those days that I just wanted to return my life to it. And those are blessings that everyone can know. It's not unique to me. God blesses those who seek Him in His word. And so what we see in this passage, in Psalm 19, what we see in this passage is that if anyone knew this, what happened in my life at that time would be utterly predictable. Because the Bible says that's what it does. It bestows great blessing on those who seek it out. And so what we're going to look at is, having understood the Bible's authority, we're going to see that its authority conveys comprehensive blessing to those who read it. And I want to say one final thing before I get into the first of my 5 points. That a pastor who does not teach the Bible, a pastor who substitutes entertainment or silly discussions or whatever, he is cutting his people off from the very thing that God would use to bless them. That is a travesty. That is a tragedy of incalculable proportions. For the sake of trying to satisfy his audience and to appeal to their felt needs, he cuts them off from that which would truly bless them. And that should never happen. And the accountability that God will bring to bear upon men like that who push the Bible out of their pulpits for the sake of something else will be severe, and it will be immense, because the Bible states very clearly that teachers will be held to a stricter judgment, James chapter 3, verse 1. And so, beloved, whether you're hearing this now or hearing it later via some other medium, you look for men who bring you the Bible, because they are the ones who want to bring the blessing of God to you. That's why we preach the Word here in Grace Life. That's why we preach the Bible. It's to honor God, to honor Christ, and that it would be a blessing in your lives. And that kind of leads into the first point. And I just say all of that up to this point to just help cultivate a sense of anticipation in your own heart. What are these blessings then? What is it that is available to me in God's Word? What is it that would so transform my life? And to have you want it and to desire it, because it is good, because it is a rich blessing. Point number one, a blessing that every person on earth should want is this. First of all, the Bible brings joy. The Bible brings joy. Look at verse 7 and verse 8 with me, where it says, in the first part of verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. And there in verse 8, at the beginning of verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. It's not just that the law of the Lord is perfect in and of itself. It's not just that the precepts of the Lord are right in and of themselves. That is true, but there are consequences that flow from that, which is what we're looking at today. The consequences that flow from the perfection of the Word of God, the consequences that flow from the rightness of the precepts of the Lord are what we're looking at today, and they are consequences that are blessings to the believing heart. Now, with that said, we talk about joy and restoring the soul. Let me ask you a question. Is it really even necessary for me to review the spiritual challenges that we face in this life and in this world at the present time? On a broad scale, on a macro scale, war and economic uncertainty and political change may undermine and change the landscape of life as we have always known it. On a personal scale, pressures in our family, pressures at work and school and church situations may discourage us. People abuse their authority to our harm. People betray our trust. Illness steals our health, and death steals our loved ones before we're ready to say goodbye to them. On a spiritual scale, false teachers confuse with their doctrine and their criminal lifestyles. Sin weighs others down with guilt, and doubt may undermine someone's assurance of salvation, either because they're truly not saved or because they just don't understand some things that they need to see. From the broadest scale to the relational scale to the inward scale, the threats to our spiritual well-being are diverse and even inevitable. We live in a sin-cursed world. And so, we face those challenges. I face those challenges just like you do. On a day-to-day basis, these things rise and get into our face. Here's my question, beloved. Here's the question that should frame the way that you want to approach life. In light of all of those threats to our spiritual well-being. Here's my question as I look at those things. Are we just condemned to slug our way through those, maintaining a stiff upper lip? Do we simply go through life kind of cringing while we wait for the next calamity to come our way? Or is there a means of overcoming that? Is there a means of looking those challenges straight in the face and saying, even if the worst of that happens, I will be undeterred. I will not bow before them. My back will not break under the weight of it. Is there a way to live that way? Is there a way to live a triumphant life that is inexplicable by external circumstances? That's the question. If we can answer that question, we have unlocked the key to life. We have unlocked the key to looking confidently at the future, despite the intense sorrows that I know some of you are facing even today. Well, beloved, look at what God says in His authoritative word. Look at what God says in His inherent word, His word with comprehensive authority. Verse 7, look at it with me. I want your eyes on the page. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. These promises, these assertions about the Word of God are absolutely independent of time and culture and circumstance. The Bible has a transcendent ability to convey the blessings of joy that are independent of anything that is happening in life, anything that would happen in our economic or political structures, anything that is troubling your heart. The solution to those things is found in the Word of God. And I want to say something in particular and help you understand what it is that I'm saying and what I'm aiming after here. Because for far too long, through a lack of understanding perhaps in my own life, especially in my younger days as a Christian, I had the sense that these kinds of blessings were based on a the day-to-day quiet time that you try to have. Now, it's true that you need to be consistent in the Word of God to know these blessings, but we're talking about something that is far more important and far more significant than getting a daily bump to get through the next 24 hours. What we're talking about here is that a true understanding of what the Bible teaches gives to you a framework of life and an understanding of the character of God and the ability to apply it to your own life in such a way that... Take a breath. Okay. In such a way that you can permanently resolve those issues that have troubled you, even if they have troubled you for years. That you can come to not just getting through another day with those things weighing on your mind, but you actually get on top of the issues and say, I am past this, I have grown past this now. That is what we are talking about. That the deep throes of grief and sorrow are matters that in this life you can overcome permanently, still feeling the effects of it, but not in a way that they dominate your thinking and they dominate your heart in a way that so often happens. God has given us the Bible so that we would triumph over those. And we may feel the echo of it in our mind, but there is a greater reality of joy that controls the way that we look at it. And so if you are finding yourself as you sit here today under the weight of a long-standing struggle, believing the Word of God, affirming the Word of God, but feeling that weight and never feeling like you ever get on top of it, listen, I'm holding out to you the promise from the Word of God that you can transcend that, and you can, God can bring you to a point in your understanding and in your spiritual life where that matter is settled in your heart and no longer is the framing way in which you look at life. Otherwise, this promise is meaningless. Otherwise, God is deceiving us when he says the Bible restores the soul. Otherwise, he is lying when he says that the precepts of the Lord rejoice the heart. There is permanent spiritual growth that can be attained and kept through the Scriptures. The Bible is the rock of refuge that we go to in a heaving sea of life uncertainty. The Bible restores the soul. This phrase has the idea of bringing something back to its former condition, like the craftsman who repairs broken furniture or some such thing, repairs it and brings it so that it is able to stand and to be able to do what it was intended to do. That is what the Bible does for the Christian. That's what it does for the believer. It restores the soul. It's that term that speaks of our thoughts and our desires and our will. It restores us to where God would have us to be, in that place of spiritual firmness. So we're talking about more than barely keeping your head above water as you go through day to day. We're talking about settling issues with finality and assurance, because the Bible has so convinced us of God's goodness and blessing that it anchors and frames the way we think about everything in life. Suppose it would be helpful. I do not like to give personal illustrations, but I just want you to understand what it is that I'm talking about. And I've mentioned this probably too many times in the past. But when my dad and brother were killed in the plane crash about 20 years ago, the ensuing years of that time in my life were very, very hard and discouraging times for me. And I don't want to get into all of the difficulties of those days, except to say that this was a matter of years that we're talking about, where I was trying to come to grips with that. And the weight of sorrow and the weight of grief and the weight of the knowledge of their eternal destiny weighed on my heart so very heavily for such a long time. And in the midst of my seminary years, I did some study on trusting God in trying times out of the book of Habakkuk. And I will never forget, and I say this completely to the glory of God, because it's obvious after several years that I didn't have the answer to it, so the solution to this does not come from any brilliance of my own insight. I remember the day, and I will never forget the day, when a particular verse of Scripture clicked in my mind as I had been studying the book of Habakkuk. And in that time, as I'm reading through this, as I recall, it was early morning, something clicked that had never really clicked in quite the same way. Habakkuk, at the end of his book, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18, after having gone through a long spiritual process of his own, said, "Yet I will exalt in the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." And what he is saying is that the character of God and his control of the future and what he has done in the past is sufficient for me to always exalt and to always rejoice no matter what. The rejoicing of my heart is rooted in the character and the purposes of God, regardless of the circumstances that are in my life. Now remember, I'm reading this, and this is starting to click in my mind after years of discouragement. And I involuntarily and reflexively stood up. I was at my desk, and I just stood up involuntarily, and I said, "That's it. That is the answer. It has nothing to do with my feelings about what had happened. The answer to my soul has nothing to do with whether my dad and brother were truly saved or whether they're condemned in hell or not. None of that matters for the cornerstone of my soul. The cornerstone of my soul is the goodness and sovereignty of God." And since that moment, none of those uncertainties and doubts and darknesses have intruded upon my peace. Not once. It governed my life for years in some ways. But now I can talk about it and I can give glory to God no matter what actually happened.
As we've seen today on the Truth Pulpit, joy comes from being a God-honoring student of the Scriptures. But there are more blessings besides, and Pastor Don Green will discuss those on our next broadcast. We hope you'll tune in. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
Well, friend, if you have enjoyed this broadcast today, let me encourage you to do something that would be an encouragement to the partners who help make it happen. Drop a note, if you would, to the radio station that you've heard this broadcast on. They would love to hear that they have ministered to you because they love to share God's Word with you. And also, it will help them know that they're reaching people with God's Word through the ministry of the Truth Pulpit. So drop them a note and give them thanks. And be sure to tell them that you heard the Truth Pulpit on this station.
Thank you, Don. And friend, remember to visit us at thetruthpulpit.com, where you can find out how to get free CDs of our messages and series. Plus, you can learn more about our ministry. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. Now for Don Green, I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from the Truth Pulpit.